Well, good morning. Today we're going to work on responding to God's love and care. Now, we know that God is love and that He loves us. We know that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. But in order to respond to His love and care, it is essential that we systematically build and maintain our beliefs. And I would like to start by reading a record in Luke chapter 1 about Gabriel coming to Mary with the communication of Jesus' birth. He was dispatched by God to convey to Mary His love and care for her life. So, in Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 26. And it says, in the sixth month was the time frame of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city in Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is a sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Look at the amount of information, the assurances, the promises, the comfort in this special message just for Mary. It has so much detail. Mary had one simple, straightforward, and fair enough question, and God answered her. And additionally, to assure her this could and would happen, came the news of Mary's cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy. She was with child who had been barren. Everyone knew she had been barren. And Gabriel's parting words were, For with God nothing shall be impossible. What was Mary's response to God's love and care? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And that handmaid is a form of doulos. She was a servant by her choice. It was her choice to be subject to the living God. She says, Be it unto me according to thy will. In essence, here am I, Lord. I belong to you. I am your servant by my choice. Life with your light is so much better than living life by my light. So be it unto me according to thy will. Let's skip to verse 45, because here we'll see a little more about Mary's thinking about what was in her mind. 45, And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his bondslave. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And you know, so many people do so many things in this day and time for 15 minutes of fame. Mary trusted God and looked to him, and for all, henceforth all generations shall know me, shall call me blessed. 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Isn't that wonderful? I would think it's fair to say that Mary had a merry heart, you know, and that merry heart worked a good medicine to her. It kept her. It preserved her. It worked an excellent cure in her life. What subjection to God she demonstrated in doing his will. You know, she could have freaked out with a lot of me, me, me questions. What about me? You know, what are people going to think? What about this? What about that? But instead, she just simply wanted to know how that was going to happen, because she didn't have a clue how that was going to happen, seeing she had known no man. And it was an honest question, and Gabriel answered. He told her how it would happen. And then God further took care of Joseph, because he sent Gabriel to Joseph to chat with him as well. And Joseph was subject to God's voice. You know, for Mary, all of the me questions were settled way before this. They were resolved. She knew God loved her, and she already believed God loved her. Those what about me questions did not hold any ransom over her at this crossroad in her life. She knew her God had all the details covered for her good, and really for the good of the whole world. She was confident. She believed and trusted in his love for her. Because love does include a complete thinking through the plan in order to be successful, that all the elements in a decision. She knew that was God's work. All the details, the carrying through, the work is God's, and that he would lead her perfectly. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Ezekiel, Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 3, we'll start at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar had set up an image of himself and had requested people worship it. And word came to him that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not doing that. So in verse 14, Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made." That's good. All is well. "But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" You know that God you've been praying to? He's going to buck up against a fiery furnace? I don't think so. Well, the king just might be wrong. Verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve," they were servants, "is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." I didn't see much stuttering going on there, did you? Verse 18, "But if not," even if there was a remote possibility that he couldn't and he wouldn't and he won't, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we'd rather burn, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. The fire had no power. Nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's words must be sliding back down his throat about now. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that what? Trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And I would say, all in the day of a servant of God. Boy, they went from one thing to the next, didn't they? It ended up with being called on the carpet and then being put in the burning fiery furnace, walking out with a godly deliverance, and then being promoted. So I guess it's all in a day's believing. Wow. Let's stay in Daniel and turn to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 16. And kind of a repeat, little different circumstance, different person, but let's read verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, this time it's Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, he will deliver thee. All the men that assisted the king had worked with the king to set Daniel up. They were jealous of him. The king liked Daniel. So they got the king to agree that anyone who didn't worship the king, his gods, would be put in a lion's den. So they did. This is what happened. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18, but remember, the king really loved Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before then, O king, have I done no hurt. The king was exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. He believed the love that God hath toward him. Well, let's go to Acts 27 and read a little bit about Paul. In Acts 27, there he found himself on a ship. He was a prisoner, and he was in the middle of a humongous storm. Acts 27, and let's pick it up in verse 21. A lot had gone on prior to this time aboard the ship. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told of me. And it did happen just the way God promised. There was no loss of life, only the ship. Let's go back to 1 Kings 3 and look in on Solomon. 1 Kings 3. Solomon also considered himself a servant. And he really desired for God to teach him how to rule as a righteous king. He was just coming into this particular area of life. Starting at verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Solomon didn't know how to lead in a godly manner. He didn't know how to care for people the way God would care for people. He wasn't a dummy at this point in his life, but he just didn't know all of God's ways. Verse 8, And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who was able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for life for thyself, long life, neither has asked for the riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. What a great record. That should certainly direct our prayer life a little, right? Okay, let's look at Abraham in Romans 4. And all these are just showing people's response to God's love and care. Romans 4. We look in on Abraham, and we'll pick it up in verse 17, Romans 4, 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. So that was Abraham's response to a promise of God. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in believing, he considered not his own body, now dead, which means, you know, he did give that some thought. He did realize he was an old guy when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God. And here was Abraham's response to God's love and care and his promises for him. In verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. I'd like to right now turn to Psalm 119 and look at some of David's responses. Psalm 119. We're not going to read the whole psalm, but I did pick out a few verses to read. We will start with one. Psalm 119:1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. These are things that David affirmed. These are things David believed. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Let's go to 13. Verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. This is how David lived. This is how he thought. These are the things he meditated upon. In verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You know, we all have some considerations to do in light of the things that we know from the word, so that we can get to our beliefs lined up with God's will. David says in verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. See, when he thought about the light of God in his life, his own personal light that he could generate was definitely insignificant to live the way that he wanted to live. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. And here was something he had figured out. Verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear or love or respect thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Let's look at verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. So there wasn't a time when David said, God, I was with you up until that. But I really think I've got a better take on this right here. No. David realized and esteemed all of God's precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that, as you usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And there's one more record I would like to look at as we just kind of build our familiarity with these wonderful men and women who trusted God, who put their all in him. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew 26. We'll look at this record in Matthew. And we'll start at verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. And he, Jesus, he's in the garden now, went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then, of course, they came for him, and it was to Golgotha, basically, after that. So, you know, here is the account of our Lord and Savior in Matthew, who gave the ultimate sacrifice of his own life. John 15:13 tells us of this stunning reality, and I'll read it to you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And, you know, Jesus Christ came to make known the Father, his love, his characteristics, his ways. And his Father was faithful to raise him up. He was faithful to seat him at his own right hand. And in our identification with Christ, we are seated there as well at this day and time. So what a great victory that was. We have God's word to read, to delve in, to see, and to taste his love and care. We can believe that our lives will be even as it was told to us via the word. In Romans it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In Hebrews it says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? What could Nebuchadnezzar do? You know, our enemies are everywhere. God's enemies are everywhere. Nothing that God doesn't already have the solution to. Man can't do anything to us that God has not already provided the solution for. So it is our responsibility in living like children whom God loves to prepare ourselves for Him to do exactly what His will is for us. So we have looked at Mary's response to God's love and care. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego's, Daniel's, Paul's, Solomon's, David's, their responses, and of course this wonderful response of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made known the loving and caring Father. They were totally sold out to revere the scriptures. Their trust was in the living God. They trusted in the Lord with all their heart. They leaned not to their own understanding. In all of their ways, they acknowledged Him, and He directed their paths. As we look into His word regularly, we will see and learn more about His unfailing love for us. And it's just good to read the word and note the many instances, the many testimonies of His love and care for everybody, for all men, but especially to those who deliberately place themselves within His love and His care. Those who make themselves subject. And you know, this is interesting. Larry and I were talking earlier this week, and he said, when we're not being subject to God, when we decline to walk by the light of His counsel, what are we actually rejecting? Love. We're actually saying to a God whose arms are outstretched, who has our names graven on His palms, no, I don't want that kind of love. So that's what we're rejecting. We're rejecting love. It is always our choice. When we objectively look at our lives and desire them to be better, on any given day, at any given moment, we can determine to become subject to His love and care, to submit to that love and care, and He can turn our lives around, and He will. So God's promise to us really is love. There are a lot of other details, but His promise is really love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves, and perseveres. Love never fails. Embrace His love for you. More than conquerors, every need supplied. Nothing can separate you from His love. You have His forgiveness, justification, sanctification, redemption, righteousness, the ministry of reconciliation, eternal life, crowns, to list a few. Blessings, blessings, and more blessings. We can and should build ourselves by reading the Word for comprehension of how much the Father loves us and cares for us, of His supreme power to do anything. If He promises it, we should lay our claim. Just like teaching our children, the only reason they ever learn please and thank you is because you say, what are you supposed to say? Please. What are you supposed to say? Thank you. And parents feel like they're the please and thank you recording. But you know what? That is the only way your children will grow up to say please and thank you. And that goes, we just feel like repeaters. But you know what? Our children grow up and they embrace those things that we repeated so faithfully, so consistently. And I would like to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're just going to read this chapter together. And I'm going to leave it to settle. There's just not too many better ways to say these wonderful truths from God's Word. So that's what we're going to do. So starting 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world and to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God bless you. Go forth embracing his wonderful love and care for your life.